Welcome back to the Small Business Show. I'm your host, Lori Brooks. If you're enjoying the show, don't forget to subscribe, like, and share. This week, I had the opportunity to chat with Jeff Beal, best-selling author and marketing strategist who's been featured on dozens of media outlets such as Wall Street Journal, ABC, CBS, Fox, and now the Small Business with Lori Brooks Show. Jeff, welcome. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Lori.
Certainly. I am super excited to have you and to dive into your journey as an entrepreneur. We've had you on the show before, and I'm super excited to also welcome you as my future co-host here on the show. So, community, you will be seeing more of Jeff as we move into additional episodes as we move forward, but we're going to go ahead and rewind that clock for a bit and go ahead and talk about the days of junior high or high school, Jeff. Think about the days when an aunt or an uncle or a mentor would ask you what it is you wanted to be when you grew up. What was the answer to that question?
Well, that's really interesting because back then I think when I was in high school, I wanted to be an athlete. And then later parts of high school, I wanted to be a rapper, an entertainer. And I think a lot of that came to, I guess in our environment, they were the ones that everybody says were the successful people or ones to look up to. So that was where the bar was set. I mean, it was just like, okay, you're going to be either a rapper or you're going to be an athlete or you're going to be working at the convenience store. So that was my goal at that young age.
Right, right. There's only so much exposure that there was presented, you know, years ago to X, Y, and Z industries. There were only so many things that were exposed to, you know, the Black community as a whole. There, and it really depends on what exposure you had to what. And I don't think that's necessarily specifically Black community when it comes to what your exposure is. I think that's across the board. What you're exposed to is what you have knowledge of, and that's what you're aspiring to. So if there's a real lack of other representation in other industries for that community, that's really where that comes from. We grew up with so few representations of African-American physicians or scientists or astronauts. As we were growing up, it was difficult to see ourselves in roles of that sort. So I truly understand.
That's true.
You know, what you mean, where you're coming from with that. So what was it that sparked the idea of entrepreneurship for you? What was it that made that pivot, made you move towards becoming Mr. Marketology?
I think it was a combination of a couple of things. One was the fact that I started being observant and I started seeing what lifestyle I wanted to live. And I started to really look at who's living that type of lifestyle. And so my journey was interesting because I on paper have done everything successfully that people say that you should do. You know, I was honor student in high school. I was never in trouble with any type of law or anything. I went to the military. I went to college. I was the first on both sides of my family to have a master's degree. I did corporate America. I moved up the ladder in corporate America. I was an executive in corporate America. But the thing was, I always looked at the lifestyle that I really wanted to live, the freedom that I really wanted to have, the income that I really wanted to have. I started asking people that had that lifestyle, what do you do? And none of them said what I did. They always were like, oh, I own this business, or I own this property, or I own this shopping mall, or I, you know, and I was like, well, how come the ones that are with me, my peers, are in the same level of income and lifestyle that I'm in? But that's not where I want to be. And the ones that are where I want to be aren't doing anything that we're doing. and that this lifestyle. So I'm obviously listening to the wrong people. Obviously, you know, they're telling me how to do things that they're not even doing for themselves. And I'm listening to them foolishly as if it'll work for me miraculously. And it's not working. So that was the one thing. And then the second thing was my dad. My dad was a minister, but he was also a worker. He worked like three jobs. And I remember when he went to the hospital with a slip disc, and when he came out, and then months later, he ended up dying, heart attack. And I remember he died at like 5 something in the morning, putting on his boots, getting ready for work for one of the three jobs while he's going with a bad back. And I remember how, you know, those companies really didn't care. I mean, it was like, okay, next. And I said, you know what? I'm not built for this employee lifestyle. That's not what I want to do. You know, I also worked at another company and a guy died at that company. Same thing. He died like 7 something in the morning. They had his job on the job board before lunch. His wife didn't even pick him up to pretty much pick him up to get him prepared for burial. They already had his job up. And I said, you know what? This isn't working. Then I started looking at it. I'm sitting in these executive meetings and they're talking about how much profits they made year over year and the increase. And everybody's clapping and all the upper execs are getting bonuses. And then the very next week, a week after, they're laying off departments, saying budget cuts. I'm like, how is it budget cuts? You're making more money than you expected. But I started to realize what really was going on. And I said, which side of that field do I want to be on? Do I want to be a player that's on the field, that's sacrificing my health, my body, my mental state, my family, my lifestyle? Or do I want to be on the owner's box? Well, I'm celebrating in the press box. I mean, I'm celebrating in the owner's box all the time. And, you know, I call my own shots. I call my own income level and so forth. And so that's when I started saying, you know what? Maybe this entrepreneurial adventure is where I need to be. Now, remember when I said I wanted to be a rapper when I was in high school? Well, I did become a rapper. I did rap a little bit. But I started to say, you know what? I don't want to be a rapper. I want to own a record label. So I started my own label. I was like, it's not enough for me to be a rapper. I need to own the label, because all the peers that I knew in the music industry, the ones that I knew, that some of them were very well known, but they weren't making any real money. Yeah, they flashed a lot, but really they weren't making any money. And we won't get into the whole music game structure, but what you see is usually not what's really happening in that. A lot of that is advanced. They don't really own it, and they are getting taxed extremely over what it's worth for that reimbursement, the payback. So they're worse than being broke. They're beyond broke. They're broke with $1 million debt type broke. But in the general public, they look like they're very well off. But I started to say, do I want to be that? Or do I want to be the one that's the owner, that I don't have to go on tour, I don't have to do any music recording, I don't have to do anything, but I'm still getting the most of the money. I'm still living the better lifestyle. And so that's when I started saying, yeah, being an entrepreneur probably is the better route for me. Because I see from my father and I see from my peers what this 9-to-5 lifestyle is going to offer.
I think that's a realization that a lot of people come to, you know, after a number of years in the actual workforce. I think there's a moment in time when everybody begins to question that exact moment, when they look around themselves and they're saying, this doesn't feel right. Yeah. In some shape or form. And maybe I'm wrong on that. Maybe it's not everybody. Maybe it's those of us who have that entrepreneurial spirit that have this moment and that calling and that feeling of recognition of, you know, I could really do this and benefit for myself in other areas and other manners than the way I'm going to be able to in this specific position. So, you know, and not having that control, which was what drove me into, you know, consulting, as we both discussed, and I'm sure my audience is aware of by now, you know, having been diagnosed with Crohn's, it was a moment of, you know, do I want to worry about an employer's decision based off of my physical health?
Yeah.
Or would I prefer to be in control of my income, know what I'm doing, know when my income is coming in, and have the ability to predict that in a manner that you can't realistically do when you're not in control of the business as a whole. So completely understood. So
yeah, and I think some of them don't realize it. I think some of them are, you know, they don't see the other side. They just see the employment side. And I think the others that are still employees but have that entrepreneurial bug, they see the opportunity, but they also don't want to be fully accountable for their outcome. So you can always blame your boss on your lifestyle. You can always say, I'm not getting paid enough, the reason I'm poor. You can always blame your job for not spending time with your family because they won't let you off work, you know. But when you're an entrepreneur and you own your own business, then you are to blame. I mean, you set your own hours, you set your own income, you set your own rules. And I think some don't even know about it. And the others, they are like, I don't want that type of pressure.
I don't think with an employment scenario, you can necessarily take out the accountability, the personal accountability. I don't necessarily think you can lay that completely on an employer. I think in a lot of respects, we're all still very much so responsible for our own journey, even as employees. You know, you're responsible for the growth of your own career and the movement in life, regardless as to whether or not there's an employer present or not. I think taking accountability is something that we need to do as adults, regardless as to whether or not we're employees or entrepreneurs. But I think definitely when you're in an entrepreneurial journey, you don't have a choice whether or not, you know, the accountability, whether or not to really pay attention to that aspect of how you're going to pull things off. You really have to take that accountability on yourself because it's your journey. Holy, there's no one to lay anything on. Like you said, there's things that you might try to blame, but you still have to kind of take some accountability for those things at the same time.
Yeah, and I think that's a true statement. Unfortunately, a lot of people don't take that accountability. A lot of people want to blame their boss or blame their situation on their job, and it's just easier. I mean, it's sort of like, okay, let's take us back to the days when we was in high school. If you didn't go somewhere with your friends, you could easily blame your parents. They won't let me go out the house. No. When you're grown and you have your own place, you can't blame anybody but yourself. Well, why do you don't want to go? Well, I don't want to go. You know, and it's sort of like that. At a job, even those that are looking at growing their career and so forth, they still have that crutch of, I can only go but so far and I can only do but so much because of my limitations of this job. And I can always blame this job. It's kind of hard when you wake up in the morning and be like, I'm broke. And then you ask yourself why you're broke. Because I haven't done what it takes to get sales. You know, I mean, there's nobody else to blame. You can't blame the economy. You can't blame your clients. You can't blame your prospects. You can't blame people that aren't even leads, that should be leads. It's you eat what you kill, in a sense. So it's on you. You know, at a job, a lot of people go to work. They don't really care how the day goes. It's just, I'm just showing up. I'm getting paid for my time. I'm showing up.
Right.
And if I'm not making what I want to make, it's because the job isn't paying me enough. You know, not because I'm not doing enough to get paid enough. It's like, they're just not paying me enough. Well, why don't you get a promotion? They won't promote me. well, why don't you get another job? Nobody else is hiring. You know, it's just easier.
Use after excuse, exactly. So yeah. What were the steps that you took when you decided to begin taking that accountability for yourself, when you decided to begin moving into your journey as an entrepreneur?
I think the first thing was just to say, okay, I want to learn how every position operates and see what I like out of each one and what I want to do and what I don't want to do. So with the record label, it was easy because I always wanted to be in music and I always wanted to do this and that, but I wanted more control. And so with that came more research to find out more knowledge of how to actually run a business and how to have more control. And that served me as I moved on to other businesses like the web design firm that I had and the marketing agency that I have. You know, you start to learn all the aspects. And one key thing was figuring out what you want to do and what you don't want to do. And that's a hard one because a lot of times you try to do everything and you get bogged down with the stuff that you don't like to do. And you never end up doing the stuff that you like to do or that you're good at doing. So, you know, research, I started to learn all the aspects. I started to learn that the entrepreneurial lifestyle isn't as glamorous as social media would put it. I mean, everybody as an entrepreneur is not making millions of dollars and sitting on a beach sipping on some sort of drink. Yeah, it's a lot to it. So you learn that. But the control and the freedom, it's much better because you know you can change your situation if you desire to change your situation. So that was the first step. First step was just making a commitment and starting to do research to see the entire picture of what that looks like.
I'm glad that you said that. I think you are probably one of the very first guests throughout all the people I've interviewed from the podcast through now with the show who has given that as one of their first steps, making the commitment to doing it. Mindset. We talk about it all the time on the show. I talk about it with my clients all the time. But it's one of those pieces that people don't really speak to as being one of the steps that they truly, honestly took. They accredit it to what assisted throughout the journey, but not necessarily one of the first steps. So I appreciate that
you said. Oh, yeah.
Making that commitment to this journey is more important than anything. And there are, I think, a lot of entrepreneurs who jump into the entrepreneurial journey thinking it's going to be a simple scenario and then cease fire because it's not as quick or as easy as they thought it was going to be, or they're not as focused, or they haven't figured out precisely where it is they want to be in the market or who it is that they want to be working with. And yeah. So they don't make the commitment because there's a lack of clarity. And because of the lack of commitment, there's no momentum or ability to move forward in their journey. And it generally comes to an end. And that is why a lot of entrepreneurs and businesses fail within that first 2-year period is sometimes a lack of true commitment. Mentally, you may have financially put out money or invested in the business or put together an office space or a website, things of that sort. But until you've made that mental commitment to the journey, it can be a really difficult thing to work on. So, yeah. Definitely. So, tell us about the Marketology Group, please.
Well, the Marketology Group is pretty much a community of businesses helping other businesses grow. So the Marketology Group as a company, when I started, it was a marketing firm, helped a bunch of companies market. But one thing I started to realize was you can help them, but so far, and sooner or later, you start to become an employee. They just have you as an outsourced employee firm for them. But if you really want people to be successful and have results, you need to teach them how to put together better marketing campaigns. And so I turned it from a firm to a community to where I actually help you develop your own strategy and your own customer journey in order to get the results that you're looking for. So So that's what the Marketology Group is now versus what it was when I first started.
Awesome. I love it. I often see you doing LinkedIn lives, and so I'm diving into your community and your group. So I'm super excited to be a member and a part. So thank you. Thank you. And I'm excited to see more of your LinkedIn lives. I absolutely love that. I'm curious, what do you feel were some of the hardest pieces of actually starting to do your LinkedIn lives? I mean, you're a pro at them now, obviously, but you know, what do you feel were some of those hiccups as you began actually doing that?
Oh man, overthinking it. I mean, honestly, it's like you see so many other people's lives and you're like, oh, I want to be like that, or I want to do it like this, or, you know, nobody's coming in here and nobody's asking any questions and nobody's chatting. And, you know, you see these other people like, hey, Lori, hey, Stephanie, hey, Bob, hey, John. And you're like, wow, you know, but your show or your live is different. And it's an extension of your personality. And people can see through when you're faking that. So overthinking it has been the biggest challenge in doing the lives. You know, you can blame it on the technology. I mean, there's a lot of technology out there. And LinkedIn Live isn't as easy as like a Facebook Live or something. It doesn't connect with as many connectors. They're very selective. But really, you just gotta just get on the camera, see where it takes you. So, and I still overthink it a lot, you know, a lot more than I need to, but you just gotta get on the camera and put it out there.
Definitely. Do you have any tips or tricks you might suggest for those who might be trying to dive into starting their own lives?
I would say build out your strategy first. Understand your customer, understand what message you're going to put out there, and then how you want to be seen, what's your voice going to look like, and then build out your strategy. Like for me, I'm still modifying it. I found out if you set up your LinkedIn Live as an event, it then pings everybody, and they know beforehand that you're about to come on live. So that's very important. A lot of times we just jump on live, and you're like, nobody's on. Well, you kind of came on at a time where everybody's busy, you know, and they didn't see it on their phone at the time. But, you know, setting up that event, if you have it scheduled well, you can put some pre-promotion out there beforehand to let people know what you're going to talk about or how this is going to be formatted. And then afterwards, you want to definitely look at pinging if you have guests. You want to mention them so it'll notify them so they can notify their people. And then when you're on the live, just, I hate to say have fun. That sounds preschoolish.
Yeah,
just go out and have fun, but try to have fun with it because it, you know, it's different than a recording. It's different than a social post. Just try to have fun, be engaging. If your show is in an engaging type show, if it's a lecture type show, just do the best presentation you can do. But don't try to be so stiff with it. I think that's one of the other things I see. A lot of lives out there are boring because they're real stiff and they're just like, I'm teaching you a lesson. Most people don't want to learn like that.
No, lives are definitely more of an authenticity scenario. So more so than the scripted or recorded shows, much like this one. So I totally understand. Do you suggest a time of day? Do you feel like there's a specific time, day or night, or throughout the week that would be best for people to go live? And might there be a reason why?
That's a great question. I think it depends on your audience. Different industries have different times that, you know, they can watch. Like, for instance, if your audience is an audience that is working 9 to 5 and they can't watch anything on their mobile device or on their computer while they're working, then you shouldn't probably go on 9 to 5 because none of your audience is going to be able to watch you. You know, so it's based on who you're addressing. And then one of the things I like to do is put it out replay it at different times. Mm-hmm. And then that way you can kind of see, you know, what is the best times that you get engagement. So it's the same presentation. So you can eliminate the content. So it's not the content, same content, but now you're putting it out at different times to see what time works best for you.
Yes. Absolutely love the ability to A/B test throughout the day. So definitely be sure to record all of your live materials, audience. So don't go ahead on a live platform that doesn't allow for you to capture that material so you can then repurpose it in the future. So Jeff, thank you for that. Those are great tips. Excellent. So if you had the chance to go back, say, 10, 15 years and tell yourself one thing, what do you think that would be?
I think you said one thing that makes it real, real hard. But I would say the one thing is be true to you. Understand you and be true to you. The problem is the first 40 years of my life, I was doing what everybody else wanted me to do. And so I felt I started late because most of my decisions, most of my actions were not my decisions. They were decisions of everyone else. And so as I did that, yes, I had some success. I've had some learnings. I met some great people, but I think the momentum in your early years, like your 20s, your teen years, you got a bunch of energy. In your later years, you got a bunch of wisdom. So, you know, when you have that energy, if you put that toward whatever your dream is, and first you need to know what your dream is, because a lot of times you think this is your dream. Like, for instance, how many kids have been pushed into being doctors that are germophobic or they hate blood? You might not want to be a doctor, but everybody tells you you are doctor material. The problem is, I think a lot of times we don't know who we are and what we really want. And people say, oh, you just need to dream it. Most people, I'm not going to say most, a lot of people don't know how to dream because they don't know what their dream is. Their dream is a compilation of what everyone tells them they should be thinking. And I think that's the one thing, if I could rewind the clock, I knew as a young man, the routes I was going was not my decision. I just didn't know what my decision was. And I wasn't at the time ready to commit. I knew I didn't want to do a lot of the things I did early on in life. And so I would change that. And, you know, it goes into what people say, being authentic. But in order to be authentic, you got to know who you are. You got to know what you like. And then you can know what your dream is. And then you can know what your passion is. And then you can go after that.
Definitely. Now, there are some people who start off early in life with that dream and that passion and that goal and follow through. But I think you're right. There's a lot of us who throughout the years grow up with what was instilled as the goal versus what we have desired as being that goal. What was it that helped you truly gain that clarity as to what it was that you wanted to have as your goal?
I think one of the things was just being fed up. Being fed up with being tired, being fed up with not living a life that you wanted to live. And I think the best advice that was given to me, I won't name names, and this is the only time I'm going to go adult style. When I had a person tell me, I was complaining about life, the way the life was going. And I was like, everybody told me I should do this, this, that. And they said, I don't even know why you listen to my dumb ass. And then I was like, are you serious? After I've got this huge student loan, after I've got all this in that time that was wasted, listening to all this advice, and then for you to flip it as if it's my fault and be like, I don't even know why you listen to me. That's when I started to realize. And I started to look at all the things that I, all the decisions that I made, all the things, moves I made. I remember one time being told not to invest in cannabis. And 2 years later, they like, you ever think about investing in cannabis? I thought you were the one told me don't invest in cannabis when I could have got it on pennies on the dollar. Now, it's the thing, and it's not pennies anymore. Now it's like, yeah, you should invest in cannabis. You know, it's like people, I don't think they do it maliciously. They have good intentions. But if you're listening to everyone else and you don't know what you think because of why you think it, you know, you don't know why you think it, you don't know what it is, you're doing what is the right thing to do, then that's when you start to realize, you know, I'm living this lifestyle that's not comfortable, and my decisions are based on other people that don't have to actually go through the consequences of these decisions. And so, you know, that was the turning point for me. And I said, you know, if I'm gonna go out, even if it's wrong, even if I fail, even if I'm homeless, even if I, whatever, if it's my decision, I can now live with that. But I have lived a life where I have had things not work out the way I wanted it to work out, and it wasn't even my idea, and that made it even worse, you know?
I think we've all had those moments as well, definitely. I think that that's just kind of a part of life, not necessarily just entrepreneurship, so that's a good one.
Yeah, and as an entrepreneur, that's critical, because the majority of entrepreneurs I know, early on, you're not going to have cheerleaders. You're going to have people tell you, you should get a job. You should not do that. That's not a good business. This is how much you should charge. These are the people that you should service. This is how you should run your company. And a lot of these people don't even have companies. You know what I'm saying? But they're telling you, you need to do this because so-and-so on Facebook, this is how they did it. And they don't even know this person. So they don't know how they really did it. They just looking at a couple of posts and saying, oh, well, you should do this and you should do that. And then you base your decisions based on that idiocy. And, you know, the outcomes are going to be that. They're going to be ridiculous. And at the end of the day, when you say, well, I did this because you suggested that, they're going to be like, I don't even know why you listen to me. I don't even have a business. You know, or you looking at somebody that's talking about getting a 9-to-5 and they complain about their bills all the time and they're not even making $100,000 or $50,000 a year. And you're listening to them, but you're not looking at them. You're listening to them. If you're looking at them, you're like, you're struggling. Why am I going to listen to you? You know, but yet you've got other people that are successful that are telling you, this is the way to get to success. And you're listening to the same person say, I wouldn't even trust that. I wouldn't trust them. You know, so the key is, whenever they came to me early on in my entrepreneur journey, I used to hear all the time, get a job, get a job, get a job, get a job. So we had an intervention one day and they all came to me and they were like, you need to get a job. And in the room, I asked them how many people had certain assets that we already had. Out of the room, the majority of those people did not. I started asking them, how many of y'all make X amount per month? The majority of them did not. But the ones that did own their own businesses. And then I asked them, would you quit your business to go get a job? And they were like, no, not just no, but H-E double hockey stick, no. But yet you're sitting here telling me I should go get a job.
Right.
Now, the young me would have listened to that and went and got a corporate job. Everybody was celebrating because I was working for some corporate firm that was well known. I would have been miserable. I'd have been making okay money, but I'd have been miserable. But at the end of the day, I was observant enough to say, wait a minute, out of this group, the majority of people is giving me advice don't even have what we have. And then the ones that do, they own their own business. Why am I listening to this? Why am I taking it? It's sort of like a person that's telling you, you should eat pork all day, every day. Eat pork all day, every day. And you be like, you want some of this pork chop? Nah, man, I'm vegan. What? You know what I'm saying? Yeah, man, because you got to have a healthy lifestyle. That pork going to kill you. But you're the one telling me to eat pork. So, but it, even though that sounds stupid and silly, that's literally what we go through all the time. As an entrepreneur, the majority of people are going to tell you your job's not going to work. Your business is not going to work. You need to get a job. You need to do this. You need to do that. And what I always say is be observant. Figure out if the person giving you the advice is qualified to give you that advice. Yeah. If they have a successful business, you might want to listen to them. If they built companies, you might want to listen to them. But if they've never had a business, they cannot tell you what you're about to come up, you know, in. They're not going to be able to tell you the long nights you're going to have. They're not going to tell you the accounts receivables you're not going to get. They're not going to tell you about the employees you're going to have to hire and fire, the outsourcers you're going to have to deal with. They're not going to tell you about the good, the bad, and the ugly of owning a business because they don't know. They don't know. They look at Facebook, social media, television, reality shows, and they really think businesses run like that. And so they can only tell you what they know. So understand where they are before you start taking their advice. Because one thing that is very sad, and this happens to some people, you live your entire life, and then on your deathbed, everybody comes to you and says, you know what? I might not have given you the best advice. And you sit back and say, man, I wish I would have followed my heart, my mind, my dreams. But by that time, it's too late, you know. And the funny part is, I just want everybody to kind of think back. Out of the people that you idolize, out of the people that you praise, take some time to go through their documentaries. You can do it on YouTube. 9 times out of 10, they were not following what everybody else was doing. They did not listen to everybody's naysaying. And now everybody praises them. Everybody thinks they're the greatest thing in the world. Mark Zuckerberg, all of them. Greatest thing in the world. Tyler Perry, all of them. They're the greatest thing. Oprah, all of them. They're the greatest thing. But in the time they were going through their journey, they were disappointments. And now, because of the results, they're the greatest thing in the world. But everybody doesn't want to look at the journey that it took to get them there. And that journey had a lot of naysayers, a lot of close people doubting them, a lot of that. And they worked through all that to get to where they are. Now those same people, I always told them they were going to be successful. I always told them they were going to be somebody. But once again, be observant. No, you say that because now you want me now to reach back and pull you up without you dealing with the nonsense that goes with it. And now all of a sudden buy you the house, the cars, the trips, and so forth, and you enjoy the results. But while I was up there struggling, you was there not just watching me struggle. You was had the shovel with the dirt. You was like, yeah, kicking me while I'm down. Yeah, yeah. You never gonna be anything. So just understand, it comes with the game. It comes with the game. And that's what makes it even better when you make it.
No, definitely. Your network is your net worth, and it is super important to be mindful of who it is you surround yourself with, because words that you surround yourself with are either going to help or hinder the journey in one way or another. So you just have to, like you said, be mindful, keep your eyes open, and, you know, really make sure that you're making your own decisions. So
yes.
Definitely, definitely. The show is really designed to assist entrepreneurs with coming up with a business idea in an industry that they may not have been thinking of. So, Jeff, I'm curious to find out if you have the ability to wave a magic wand and change anything at all in the marketing industry across the board. What do you feel like that would be and why?
I think if I had a magic wand and could change anything in the marketing industry, I think I would have that magic wand touch the common sense, the logical gene in everybody, and open up that eye. I would have that. I think we would get so much further in life if we just used our own God-given common sense and looked at things logically and make a decision based on that.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it's no longer common.
Yes, it's not. They say common sense is not common. But to be honest, I think a lot of the things that we do, especially in marketing, we do it because people say that we should, and it's trending. And we don't even think common sense wise would it make sense. So for instance, prime example, we follow people that we think are rich because they show a lot of money sitting on a table or stacked down their arm or whatever, right? And we think because they say that they're rich, that they are successful and we should follow their blueprint because of course they're going to tell us how to do it and sell us how to do it, right? But we don't realize that the money that they're making is because they're selling us the dream. And here's the thing. I'll just use this as an example. If I'm selling a digital product or e-commerce, that a digital platform with a digital merchant account where I'm paying for this digitally, where am I getting all this money to stack on the table? Because it's not a cash transaction. They will literally have to go to their bank, withdraw money, and put it on the table to impress you. But a person with common sense says, that's stupid. Because nobody's paying with cash. Where you get all this money? See, that's drug dealer activity right there. Because that's a cash-to-cash transaction, hand-to-hand, you know? But you're telling me I'm paying with PayPal, which is digital, but yet you have cash in hand. That makes no sense. That type of stuff, I think if we could use common sense, we wouldn't get caught up into all of the fluff that's out there, and we can make better informed decisions. You know, a person that tells you, you know, your business, let's just use Facebook ads. You should use Facebook ads. And Lori, you should use Facebook ads. I never asked you what you even do. And you might not even do something. Exactly. You might not even do something that you can fulfill digitally or you can fulfill in another state. You might be doing something like, let's say, you might be doing something that you physically have to be there. It really only is you and your business. You only had the manpower to only have but one or two clients. But I'm telling you, you should spend thousands of dollars on Facebook ads. No, you should just pick up the phone and call a couple of people. You only need one or two clients. You know, but we don't think. We like, no, nah, I guess we do need to. And then behind that, I'm going to tell you, I can sell you the course on how to do Facebook ads. And then after that, I can do it for you. You can retain my services. Now, you're thinking he's very helpful. No, I probably don't even run Facebook ads. My whole game is to get you to believe in Facebook ads so I can sell you Facebook ads. I'm making money off of the dream, not the actual results, not the actual method. You know, but we don't have common sense, and businesses go through it all the time. They believe whatever the new trend is, whatever this person or that person said is. But look at what they offer first, and look at if they even care to know what you want, what you go through. And if they don't, you might not want to listen to them. You know, I have a lot of people tell me about certain things that I should invest in. And then I ask them, what's your stake in that? Come to find out, me investing is going to make them money. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. If I put into it, you getting kickback or you getting this, that. So, of course, you're going to tell me I should do it. You know, not saying that it's good or bad. And I think that common sense gene has been dulled so much in reality that we believe so many fantasies out there that don't even make any sense. I mean, it's sort of like reading Cat in the Hat or some Dr. Seuss or something and believing that's reality. And it's like, I can't believe you even fell for that. You even believe that.
I mean, really. Make common sense common again. I can't believe you.
Oh, it's we should put that on the shirt. Yeah, make common sense common again. I mean, it's just, I mean, it's funny.
That's the title of the episode. Who knows?
That would be a great title, because it's funny. Think about how many people got scammed with the Nigerian prince.
Oh, good Lord.
You mean to tell me you got millions of dollars that you can't get out your bank account, but if I give you $1,000 out of my bank account, you can now unlock millions of dollars, you won't cut me in on half? That don't even make common sense. You know what I'm saying? That don't even make common sense. You gonna let a stranger that you never met, that you found an email address, access to your $1 million account? That doesn't even make common sense. And if you've got an account with that kind of money, you've got a banker that you know personally, first name basis, but yet me as a stranger, if it's that easy for me as a stranger to get in your account with just $1,000, I'd be robbing millionaires all day, every day. You know, that's the reason they have all the security. You know, it's like, come on, have some common sense.
We're going to make it common again.
Yes.
You're hilarious. Thank you for joining us today. Please share the best way for the viewers to find you.
Oh, wow. If you want to find me, you can find me on anything at Mr. Marketology. That's MrMarketology. MrMarketology.com is the website. And if you want to be a part of the community, you can go to MarketologyGroup.com and you can become a part of the community. You'll get marketing tips, business growth tips. You'll hear from experts. You'll hear from Lori as well. We're here to help you grow your business in a common sense type of way. We try to cut out all the myths. Yes. Yeah, we try to cut out all that myths and nonsense.
I love it. Absolutely love it. MrMarketology.com. Be sure to reach out, everyone. Jeff, thank you again for joining us. And I look forward to having you as my co-host in future episodes coming up. So be sure to look for that, viewers.